Hi, good luck. This is Yisachar Wartel, and we are now up to the second parsha. That's right, Parshat Noach, right? We had Bereishit last week coming after Simchas Torah. Still, of course, praying for everybody's welfare in every respect under the sun in Eretz Yisrael, from the soldiers to those who were held captive and everybody in between, anybody who was suffering, anybody who was injured, wishing everybody only good things, Beseres Tovos, and hopefully another relatively peaceful Shabbos. So towards the beginning of this week's Parsha, Hashem instructs Noah to take both the kosher and non-kosher animals into the Teva. The Torah often refers to the non-kosher animals as Tameot, which literally means impure, and that's part of a much, much larger conversation as to why the term Tameh can be used in two different respects. But anyway, here in both instances when they're mentioned, the Torah explicitly does not mention them as such, but rather calls them not tahor, right? So it's still with the same, relativization, of tamei and tahora, but it doesn't call them tamei. Instead, it calls them not tahor, inena tahor. Second instance is a little bit more pronounced, and is even referenced in Masechet Pesachim, Gimel and Aleph, where it states min habehema hatahora u'min habehema asher eno inena tahora, from the pure animals and from the animals which are not pure. Now, the Minchat Shai asks why the Torah, which does not contain unnecessary words or even letters, chose to phrase it as such, because it would actually be shorter to say Asher Tamea instead of Asher Einenu Tahora. It's a few extra letters. And he cites the Gemara in Pesachim, where Rabbi Shua ben Levi gives multiple instances in which the Torah uses a cleaner language so as to instruct us to not have disgraceful things come out of our mouth. And the Torah, therefore, uses eight letters more than it needs to. You could have just said Tamea even. You could have even, you don't have to say Asher Tamea, right? You could have just said Tamea, Behema Tamea, right? So Asher Einena Torah implies eight extra letters. So the Torah wants to illustrate this point, which is interesting because even though it's a terminology that's used pretty often by the Torah, and it's not necessarily a degrading thing, on the heels of something which is, we're basically taking apart the entire world for all of its sins, right? We want to highlight how even sometimes the seemingly the smallest things can potentially be problematic. And by maligning something, even an animal or any of Hashem's creations, and calling them tameh, even if Hashem does so, it's not that tameh is wrong. It's not that it's improper, but it's still the Torah. Hashem wants to instill in us just the nature of sensitivity, that there are certain circumstances in which you have to even be extra careful with your lashon. And this is one of those examples. Yes, we have the marble and there's a lot of things, but the people were doing so many worse things, and then to focus on something which is just a matter of a very simple language. Why are we focusing that specifically in Parshat Noah? Especially because there's so many other places where the Torah does use the term behemoth tamei. Now, perhaps this is for several reasons. The biggest sin of the generation was what the flood of the Torah calls chamas, which is obviously a term that we're quite familiar with now, and whether or not the actual terrorist organization has any etymological root to that word of Hamas, which means effectively complete disregard for other people's welfare, it fits quite well, whether or not it actually aligns or not. It's more than just theft. It's utter disregard for the property of others and to some extent the well-being of other people. Now, granted, this generation was doing many other things wrong, many types of impropriety and other things like that, but ultimately what sealed their fate was their evil actions towards each other. The Chazal teach in many places, now this is what actually spared the Dor HaFlaga, which we see towards the end of the Parsha, right? Those who built the Tower of Babel, they were not destroyed, but rather they were scattered. They still had to be punished, meter connected meter, for what they were trying to do, but they weren't destroyed. Why were they not destroyed? Because they worked with each other. They had unity, which is something that shows us an amazing thing. And now we also see how amazing unity is in Eretz Yisrael. Even though in the case of Dor HaFlaga, they were united against Hashem, nevertheless, despite what their intentions were, the fact that they had unity spared them from potentially worse consequences. Therefore, by the generation of the flood, where there was every person for themselves, and they didn't have this unity, and they had utter disregard for one another, the Torah then goes to the opposite extreme. Not only does one have to be kind to one's fellow and act cordially and respectfully, but sometimes you need to be careful even with the most little thing. Sometimes just like one little thing that you're insensitive about, and I'm guilty of this as well, especially if it's unintentional, can sometimes set somebody off. The seemingly innocuous things emanating from one's mouth can be disastrously consequential. And Chafetz Chaim, as well as many other sages, teach that lashon hara against someone is tantamount to killing them. So even if you are not speaking Lashon Hara, but you're speaking something that bothers somebody or they wouldn't want you to say, even if it's just a little bit, this is what they call avak Lashon Hara. It's just a little bit of grain of Lashon Hara. And that still pains people. It might not be killing them, but it's still a problem. And the Torah wants to sensitize us to this. Now, an animal, there's no problem speaking bad about an animal. And simply referring to a behemoth as a behemoth tamea, it's not even slandering it, even if there was a problem with slandering an animal. It's a description vis-a-vis its kedusha, vis-a-vis mankind. You know, do we hold it as a kadosh animal? Do we hold it as a tahor animal? No, the Torah is being specific. But the Torah is nevertheless teaching us a second lesson. The level of the mankind at the time of the flood was so depraved and twisted that the peoples were at best like animals. When the human beings were so lowly, then in that case, even innocently using the word against an animal, which would normally not be an affront at all, is in fact too much. For these people, speaking against an animal would be equivalent almost to, maybe to even speaking against a human being, because the human beings were like depraved animals. Again, connection to Hamas. It may be that even though humans, this is a whole other thing, it's probably my favorite Rashi. I can't tell you exactly what pasuk it's on, but it's in Parsha Bereishit, towards the beginning of the Parsha. And there are other sages that echo this as well, that mankind is only above the animals if he does what he does properly, if he acts properly, takes care of the earth properly, whatever he needs to do. But when man becomes wicked and acts irresponsibly, then man is actually lower than the animals. So in this case, the animals were actually higher than mankind at the time of the flood, and therefore even more reason to be careful with one's words, because the animals are better than you. They don't have a choice, right? So they're kind of on neutral ground, right? You have a choice, and you're doing the wrong thing. Not you specifically, but the people in the novel. So it was to instill, we're going to be careful with the animals. So yeah, they might not have a choice, but at least they're not choosing to do evil. Because I'll also teach in many places that one bit of carelessness can also lead to a lot of sin. Now, that's not to say that we have to hold ourselves to the level of how we, describe animals. We don't have to get into that habit of, being that careful. But we do have to take stock and take care of every single word that emanates from our mouths, which is easier said than done. And especially if it's about another human being. And that's something to keep in mind. And certainly in this time where we all need to be unified together and be half an extra sensitive to all of Kal Yisrael and how people are feeling, certainly abroad, if you're not in Eretz Yisrael, if you are in Eretz Yisrael, the people who are, more close to it, if you're, Baruch Hashem, in a nice, safe area. But we have to take care of all kinds of insensitivities, and it doesn't necessarily mean going overboard, but it matters to the other person if we show a sense of sensitivity out of a good place, not because society tells us to or want to be PC or things like that, but because there are brothers and sisters, and every person is a B'Tselem Elokim. So anybody who deserves our respect should get our respect, and just by virtue of the fact that anybody who's not evil therefore deserves our respect. And we, especially anybody who is part of Klal Yisrael, because they are actually our brothers and sisters. We treat them like that, and we have to think of them regardless of their affiliation, regardless of how they connect. They're all being targeted. We're all being targeted. We have to keep in mind that even the smallest thing can be consequential, and therefore staying away from the smallest thing, or sometimes even the smallest kindness or the smallest kind word, is an avak of something Tov. It's something good. An avak of Lashon Tov can still go a very long way. So we want to heed this lesson of the Torah and use it as a guide for not only unity but kindness with others, and also as a general reminder for Shmiras HaLashon, guarding one's speech, so that we can be zochet to a better world and ultimately the coming of the Mashiach. Shabbat Shalom.